Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show. Over the next half an hour, we're going to look back on dramatic nights in the Champions League. Look ahead to this weekend's Premier League action. Big title race, obviously. Nine games to go. Liverpool, Manchester City, both in action this weekend. As always, if you're going to gamble, gamble responsibly. And we'll be looking at some of the bets to look out for this weekend. Joined, as always, by Liam Blanche of Boyle Sports and Off the Ball's Ronan Mullen. Very good afternoon, gents. And have to take breath after unbelievable couple of nights in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think we were talking about the Champions League last year bringing people's love back for football in general. And I think if you watched any football during the week, the Ajax Madrid game, the PSG Man United game, there was just goals galore, football being played the way it should be played, players expressing themselves, taking each other on. Ajax really blew me away. I know Real Madrid were pretty poor, but you've got to give a lot of credit to this young Ajax side. It brought me back to all those fond memories of watching videos of the famous Dutch sides of the 70s, you know, and the 80s. They play it the right way. There was no fluke in their result. And as for Tadic, he could do it the odd time at Southampton, but he never rose to that type of level.
Yeah, I suppose like the beauty of the game the other night was Ajax were on the front foot, and when he's going forward, he had options. Because a lot of the time when you're playing with Southampton, and he's playing with better players, obviously.
He is playing with better players, and I think, but he's also stepped up his game a level. Yeah. I think he's probably a senior player in that dressing room now, and I think the young guys are looking to him to lead by example. He certainly led by example the other night, and Ajax are now in the quarterfinals. I was just looking at the outright odds, Phil. Ajax are still 20-1 to win this year's Champions League. Man City have been favourite since the start of the competition at 5-2, Barcelona 4-1. Then we have Manchester United. They were 100-1 to win the Champions League before kickoff on Wednesday night. They're now 8-1.
Name on the trophy, Ronan.
I know. Like, whatever about the Ajax results, Leon said it was no fluke, and it certainly wasn't, because in the first leg they were the better team that night as well, and VAR had its say. I'm sure we'll get to VAR, but the United result was almost miraculous. Like, I think there wasn't even any talk that it was a possibility.
Like, logic suggested it couldn't happen, and somebody asked me before the game, had United any chance? Then, like, they shouldn't have any chance, but things, the way they're going under Solskjaer, you just never know. And I'm watching the game, and after 90 seconds, I'm thinking, and this is exactly why you can't write off United, because everything that can go right is going right at the moment.
Yeah, and Kenny Cunningham touched on it. Solskjaer set the tone. If this was Mourinho in the hot seat, he would have been saying, oh, listen, down 10 players, my hands are tied.
But I named we'll every one of them.
Yeah. We'll go and give it a go. Where Solskjaer was like, this is Manchester United. You know, it's kind of playing the party line, but it's what the fans want.
Yeah, no, and like it's some people say it's good PR, but it makes a hell of a difference. Even his press conference today, it's just, you've gone from a manager who the glass was always half empty to the glass is always half full with Solskjaer. He's so positive. He's actually speaking about when he was out injured earlier on today. He was talking about how instead of he had something wrong with his cheekbone, he said, you know, I thought about, right, I can't do the full contact training, but I can work on my shooting, I can work on my physical training. So he's just brought that in. Look, we'll get into it more, but let's just go into this week's offers, Leon, and Manchester United actually feature in the first offer we're going to look at. United away to Arsenal. We're going for a United win. Both teams to score was 4-1, now 5-1. If United win, it's the perfect 10 away from home under Solskjaer.
Yeah, and I see no reason why they won't win. Arsenal had a very difficult game in the Europa League last night. They had a man sent off, down to 10 men for long periods of the game. Yes, there was no Lacazette. Aubameyang came off the pitch sulking. I thought his performance was very poor. And I think looking at Manchester United, you've got to say now, Phil, this outcome happened in the FA Cup. Yeah. They went there, both teams scored, and United won. So there's no reason why it can't happen again. I think 5-1 is a very, very decent price for United to win and both teams to score at the Emirates on Sunday.
Yeah, and United also feature in the second offer. So Liverpool, Chelsea and United all to win was 4-1, now 6-1. Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester United, all in action on Sunday. So Liverpool first up, they play Burnley at 12. Then Chelsea are home to Wolves. And then obviously we've mentioned United are away to Arsenal.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's two home ties. Liverpool against Burnley, as you said. Chelsea, tricky game against Wolves. But I just have a feeling Wolves will be keeping one eye on the FA Cup quarter-final match against United next week. And then, of course, United away to Arsenal. We will discuss that game. But getting two extra points, 6-1 from 4-1, a very decent enhancement.
Yeah, OK, so there is the offers. And I suppose let's look at last week's bets because, you know, I was watching the North London Derby and obviously when Aaron Ramsey scored, that kind of banjacks my bet. But let's look at John Duggan. Obviously, I'm in the hot seat from this week, but his bet last week was Tottenham to beat Arsenal. Not only did they not beat Arsenal, they were lucky to get a draw.
Yeah, they were very lucky. I thought, in fairness, Arsenal's manager got tactics spot on. They really dominated Tottenham in the midfield. Ramsey came in from out of the cold. We all know, I believe he's a world-class player. He showed it in glimpses last Saturday. And then they should have won the game.
Yeah.
Now, the two penalties shouldn't have been given. And the first penalty for Spurs, Harry Kane was in an offside position, but...
Was he though, Liam? But this is the debate we've been having.
Well, I think he was. Yeah. And I think, but in saying that, Mustafi lost the plot.
Yeah, it was.
There's no need to push Harry Kane. Let him try and score from a difficult angle. Yeah. And then the second penalty for Arsenal wasn't a penalty either. So, look, Aubameyang never looked confident stepping up, did he?
No, well, like, you look at Harry Kane as a completely different animal from a penalty spot. You just know he's going to score. The only surprise for me was he actually put it into the opposite corner. The one that he usually hits is the one we saw Rashford hit the other night where he just puts the laces through it.
Yeah.
And even if he guessed right, you're not going to get it. And for my bet, I actually thought Kane would score first. And obviously it didn't happen. He scored. There was no real value for me to back him as an anytime scorer.
Yeah, because he's too short.
Yeah.
Because
you knew, like, you know that they have history of getting penalties in North London derbies.
Yeah.
He takes the penalties, so I felt he was always going to score. Stephen Doyle, he put it all on Burnley. He wasn't too impressed. He was in the office during the week. He's like, geez, they really let me down. But Palace are just on their day.
Yeah, they can be devastating because they have something that whenever you're not playing great, but you've got power and pace up front, that even if a side is dominating you, you will get a chance on the counter-attack. And they have the players to really punish you. They've got Zaha, they've got Townsend, they've got Mitsy Batshuayi. They do have players on their day are quite capable of being match winners.
Yeah.
So I think Palace, we'll talk about the bets for this week, but I think Palace have got a good opportunity again this weekend.
Yeah, and Kevin Coban not here, but there's a win for Kevin, you know?
Yeah.
We've said we might have to start kind of looking into the archives to see at the end of the season how the numbers stack up. But certainly my memory in the last few weeks is Kevin starting to pick a few winners. West Ham and Wolves, obviously, Declan Rice, England's Declan Rice, as he's called now, scored in their win over Newcastle. Wolves also a win there. So that was a 3-1 win for Kev.
Yeah, look, he done well. Wolves were quite comfortable winners. West Ham was a much improved performance for them at home. Their home record's been very good this year, to be fair to West Ham.
Yeah.
Newcastle had one chance, I think it was late in the first half, where they could have got it back to 2-1. But then the second half just kind of fizzled out and West Ham were comfortable winners.
Okay, right. We talked about the Champions League, but let's go into it in a bit more depth.
Just obviously, before we go on, I have to say, I know we don't have the screenshot, but I did give another winner last week. Wolves, Brighton and Manchester United all won 3-1.
Yeah, okay.
Just had to get it out there.
No, absolutely.
Just had to get it out there.
Absolutely, yeah. So Champions League. Now, obviously VAR was the hot topic at the World Cup. I was actually a fan of it after the World Cup. This week, the only thing that put me off it was the length it took to get to the decision. So the Bernabeu on Tuesday night and obviously the Parc des Princes on Wednesday. Now, the Manchester United penalty, UEFA have released the wording on it this morning. And, you know, when you see it in slow motion, it clearly hits Kimpembe on the hand. He turns his back. So they have said that... UEFA said the distance the ball covered was not short. Kimpembe's arm was not close to his body. And the impact could therefore not be unexpected. The defender's body was made bigger. And I think that is the language there that UEFA are really kind of honing in on, that if you are making yourself bigger and your hand is part of that or your arm, then you are obviously getting an advantage, which is a disadvantage for the person that shoots.
Yeah, you're creating a bigger target.
Yeah.
In terms of the players having the shot on goal, that the ball may hit you. Now, I've tried to do it, and there's been a few lads in the office have tried to do it, turning and jumping.
Shouldn't be turning your back anyway, Leon.
Yeah, you should. Well, you see, this is the first thing, and we see footballers do it week in, week out, turning their back on a football.
Yeah.
These balls are so light anyway.
They're not like the size 5 mitres you used to get in the
cold. No, back in the day when it used to be raining, when you tried to head the ball, you'd have a headache for an hour and a half after it.
If you got it on the leg.
Yeah. You were sore for a week.
Yeah.
But it's just, players have got to stop turning their back on a football. I mean, if it hits you in the face, so what? Give it a rub and get on with it. Yeah. Or if it hits you in the body or whatever else it hits you. But I did feel a little bit sorry for him on the night. He was actually quite lucky to be playing. He should have been sent off in Old Trafford.
Yeah.
So maybe karma did a full circle. And to be fair to United, on the night, they didn't have a lot of possession. But again, Solskjaer got his tactics spot on.
Yeah.
Since they've put Rashford up alongside Lukaku, one's got power. He's got a bit of pace, Lukaku, but Rashford is deadly from start to 2 yards. And it just works. And fair play to United. They merit themselves being in the last 8.
Yeah, Ronan. People know Solskjaer's getting the job, but do you wonder when United are going to announce it? Are they afraid to?
Yeah, I think...
Because it could change things that they're on such a good run. We saw Di Matteo win the Champions League with Chelsea as a caretaker manager.
Yeah.
The way United are going, anything is possible. But if they announce him as their permanent manager and they lose one or two games, then people it's gone now.
Exactly.
The momentum is gone.
And it's rare since Ed Woodward stepped into the hot seat that he's riding sort of a crest of a wave and getting public support. And why change it in one sense? Like, he could easily announce it during this international break and, you know, it's a nice little window to do it. But then if they come back off the international break, lose a couple of games, like, oh, maybe he's not the right man and maybe Spurs go on a nice run to end the season and there's just doubt. Whereas if you just leave it to the end of the season, as you said, it's heavily implied that he's got the job.
Yeah.
And on Leon's point around tactics, like, one of my criticisms initially would have been off the back of the Tottenham game where he set up nicely at the start but didn't adjust. And then similarly in the Leicester game, they were very much under the cosh and he didn't rectify it. Like you saw the other night, how many tactical adjustments in the space of a 90-minute game. Like, he addressed his error with Bailly, who did a nice little acting job to get himself off.
He wasn't injured, was he?
No.
I found it very hard to watch. It was, honestly, it's rare you see at the highest level, a player struggle so badly.
I don't think it's an indictment of him, though. I think if you played Nemanja Vidic at right back in his prime, he would have been all at sea as well. It's just the nature of it. I think what he was thinking there was to have Dalot, given the dearth of attacking options off the bench, that at least I have him to bring on to change it up a little bit. And that's how it transpired. But in that game, great tactics. There were 5-4-1, 4-4-2, 4-3-3 throughout the game. And in that Palace game a couple of weeks ago, he picked a personnel and formation that I don't think anyone would have picked.
No.
And they went and won that game. So
yeah, well, even when the team was released on Wednesday night, we all thought it was a 3 at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as well with him, Phil, he's learning as he's going.
Mm. Yeah.
And he is actually seeing the squad he has at his disposal at United. And for different games, obviously through injuries, but that's a sign of a good manager, being able to adapt with what you have to pick come a Saturday or come a Wednesday. And I'm of the belief, actually, that he already has the job. And I'm of the belief that they're not going to say anything. They're just going to let this continue the way it's going. And why say anything until the end of the season?
Just
let him continue as everything is. And at the end of the season, you say, yes, he'll be our manager. And fair play. He deserves it.
Okay, so they're away to Arsenal on Sunday. Just looking at my league table, I had it printed out there. Right? So, because there's so many different races going on at the moment. We've obviously got the title race. We've got the race for the top four, which Spurs are now part of. They've dropped out of the title race. You know, they're only 3 points ahead of Manchester United and they have an away game against Southampton tomorrow. But United away to Arsenal, if they win, it's 10 away wins in a row under Solskjaer. Arsenal weren't great against Rennes. Now he'll pick a different team.
Yeah.
Great home records this season under Emery.
Yeah, look,
in the league,
they have a fantastic home record. The only game they've been beaten in is the very first game of the season against Manchester City. So the home record is the reason why Arsenal are challenging for top four. They're pretty poor on the road. But I just look at United now, Phil, and momentum is an awful lot in football. And they'll be coming home, like flying home on Wednesday night. They're back getting a recovery day on Thursday.
An extra day as well.
Yeah. Today and tomorrow. And I just look at Arsenal. They'll be coming back late from France. They'll be a little bit disappointed with a 3-1 defeat. They had a man sent off, 10 men running around, chasing the ball a lot. You just wonder, can Arsenal produce the same type of display as they did last Saturday at Wembley? I just have a fear that United might be able to capitalise. And it's a big, big game in the race for top four. And I just think with the momentum that United have at the moment, 2-1 just to win the game is a pretty fair price.
Yeah, Ronan, you kind of feel if United win this, that's Arsenal almost done from the top four race, even though their fixtures are probably kinder between now and the end of the season than some of their rivals. But you just can't really trust them away from home.
No, and they seem to, as you said, a nice run in. And given the result last night, it might be slightly off the table, but we're getting to that stage where the Europa League might be becoming a priority. Is it becoming the clearer path to top four, given, as you said, this it's really a race now between several teams for top four. So, you know, it's horses for courses at this stage. And I think Arsenal, given their home record and United, the squad that they're bringing to the Emirates, you know, it was a lot of adrenaline and emotion that got them through the game at the weekend. But on paper, it's United's reserves, basically, midfield in particular.
Yeah, well, it looks like Martial is back. I think even the other night, what was clear is their first 11 wasn't the problem. Mm. But when you looked at the bench and you saw all these teenagers, obviously Greenwood and Chong both got on. Mm. But you were thinking, right, that shows just how many injuries they have. But if Martial is back, Lingard could be back as well.
Yeah, well, I'd say Martial has a chance, but they'll be playing mostly the same cards as they played during the week, and Arsenal's home record being what it is. And they'll, like, Emery has set up tactically well in most games. He kind of tends to nullify the opposition. United took a strong team to the Emirates in the FA Cup, and the law of averages would suggest they're not going to go there twice in the space of a couple of months and beat them. So possibly a draw would be the most likely result in that game, I think.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, before that game, Chelsea are at home to Wolves. And Chelsea are part of this. Obviously, they have a game in hand because they played in the League Cup final. So they still, and that's against Brighton as well. It's a home game against Brighton. So they're only a point behind Arsenal. Now, if they were to beat Wolves, they go into fourth place. And they sit back then and hope that it all goes well for them at the Emirates. A draw would be a good result. But what do we think of Sarri now?
He's got
2 weeks from.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's been a big week, hasn't it, really, in terms of, first of all, when he got the decision right to drop Kepa, they beat Spurs. They've then won in the league again, away against Fulham. They probably should have put Fulham to bed in the first half.
Yeah.
But any time you let a side be just one goal behind, you do run the risk of dropping points, and they should have dropped points. Mitrovic missed a simple header. He should have buried that.
Yeah.
And that would have been a bit of a dent in Chelsea's push for top four. This is a tricky game against Wolves, because as we all know, Wolves are a very capable footballing side. But as I said at the start, I just have a feeling, having got that win last week, they'll definitely have one eye on the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. And that, and I say that now, and I mean it, that it's brought back a bit of love for the FA Cup, because Wolves will be doing their best to try and win that competition.
Yeah.
And they've got a home tie against United, and they'll fancy themselves against Man U.
They don't make many changes, so it'll be interesting to see what team he does go with. But if you look at the odds for Sunday, they're 11-2 to get the win. Like, a draw is 3-1. They've already beaten Chelsea this season. They love the big games, and I can remember them obviously beating Spurs at Wembley.
Yeah, I can just see Chelsea getting over the line, Phil. I wouldn't be backing Chelsea at 1-2.
Yeah.
I think it's short enough at home, but I think they'll just have enough to get the 3 points. And as you said, their game in hand is at home against Brighton. I think Chelsea, the way they're playing at the minute and just a little bit of momentum behind them, I have a feeling they're going to finish top four.
Yeah.
I just fancy Chelsea to get inside the top four.
The big game obviously on Sunday in terms of the title race is Liverpool and Burnley. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff. Jurgen Klopp's advice for the Liverpool fans was be in bed by 10 and you know, be ready to stay on your feet for the whole game. And they have struggled with early kickoffs, but I suppose what's going to be interesting, Leon, for this one is there's a very strong possibility they're 4 points behind Manchester City going into the game. And I have found this very strange that I've heard so many former pros talking about, oh, you want to be the chaser. And Andy Robertson said, you know, we were the hunted, now we're the hunters. But if they're 4 points behind City, the pressure on that Burnley game.
No, the pressure is going to be massive. It's going to be bigger than even going to Everton or going to Man United. You're 4 points behind now. This is your game in hand. If they don't beat Burnley, the league is over. It's as simple as that. Now, obviously, we're expecting City to beat Watford at home. City are now 1-3. Liverpool are 9-4 to win the league.
Yeah.
So, but Liverpool also have got a chance, Phil, that if they can beat Burnley, which I think they will, I think they'll beat Burnley, they could have a chance of beating Fulham and going 2 points clear at the international break ahead of City because they play in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So there's still a big carrot there to try and be going into the international break back on top. And City's game in hand is away at Old Trafford on a Wednesday night. So there's a lot of twists and turns I still feel in this league title. But the one thing where Klopp is failing, I think, his players at the moment is with his substitutions.
Is he letting the pressure get to him?
I think he is a little bit, because I've never known Klopp to worry about any other side bar himself and his team. Now he's talking about City, he's talking about wind, he's talking about Man United's injuries, he's talking about, you know, like, he's making excuses.
The wind thing has come up a few times, and I know they tend to go in warm weather training, so why not go wind training?
Well, listen.
Go out to the west of Ireland.
This is England, you know. Yeah. This is March. This is the end of February, early March. You're going to get windy games. I just feel some of his substitutions. Sturridge and Shaqiri came on away to Old Trafford against
Sturridge
United.
Sturridge came on first, though.
Yeah, but they haven't been seen since.
For Firmino.
Yeah, but both players have not been seen since. Then you look at what happened at Everton. Lallana comes on for Mane.
Yeah.
When you're trying to win a game. And look, I know he probably sees more than, obviously, than we do at training. But Lallana hasn't been fit in God knows how long.
No.
And I'm sure Liverpool fans, whether they were at Goodison, whether they were sitting at home like I was watching it going, what's going on?
Yeah. When you were watching the game last week and Lallana's coming on, what are you thinking, Ronan? Strange one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very like-for-like substitutions seemed to be Klopp's go-to. Yeah. And he took exception to that line of questioning in the press conference. People were saying, why were you not more aggressive? And he was really, you know, put off by it. But I think it's a fair point because in seasons past, a point at Goodison Park, a point at Old Trafford are two good results. And the last time Liverpool, not the Rodgers one, but the Rafa Benitez one, where they only lost three games, but they drew so many that United managed to overturn them. The way Man City are playing,
and
draws are almost as critical as defeats at this point.
And it's interesting you say in seasons past, but see, this season is different because City are so relentless. And yeah, they slipped up earlier in the season, but you look at even, we talked about Spurs a lot this season, where last week was their first draw. Liverpool have drawn so many games that, you know, if they had actually lost them but won a few other ones, they probably have more points. So it just seems that it's getting very cautious, and the worry is he has them set up that, okay, look, they're the best defence in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
But if the front three don't fire, which they're not, like Mane looks like the most dangerous at the moment, but there's no goals in midfield.
No, there's not. And I think it was Graeme Souness probably hit the nail on the head. If you're in Liverpool's back four and you look at how they were set up against Everton, you're very happy. But if you want to go and win a Premier League title, you've got to put a bit more pressure on your back four. And in probably like Fabinho, and if Klopp wants to play two holding midfielders, I think that's fine because you've got four guys in front of them that can cause damage. And you also must add into the fact that Robertson and Trent Alexander play like wingers.
Yeah.
So you do have enough players to create hassle. But I don't understand why there's a need to keep Fabinho on the pitch, Jordan Henderson on the pitch and James Milner on the pitch all at the same time when you're trying to win a game.
Yeah, I know like Naby Keita came with a big reputation. It hasn't been great, but has shown signs in the last month or so where you can see why they signed them. He's a player that obviously can cover a lot of ground in the midfield, likes to dribble. You kind of thought last week, why not throw him on?
Yeah, and the Shaqiri one to me is kind of baffling because he is that type of player that can see a 10-yard pass to split a defence, or he can do something that can affect the game. But as I said, since he's come on against Man United at Old Trafford, him and Sturridge, I was baffled by Sturridge coming on first for Firmino anyway. But we haven't seen either player since then. And I remember after that game, Phil, Klopp went over to Shaqiri and had a word with him.
He has done that a few times this season.
Yeah, and I felt like Shaqiri was a bit tentative, a bit negative, a bit nervous when he came on at Old Trafford. But I still think Liverpool now, they know what they have to do. I pretty much feel they might have to win all nine games to win the Premier League.
Can they do that?
I don't know. I think
it's a big ask.
You're not going to win. You're not going to win the league by trying not to lose the league. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to. They're going to have to not die wondering. Go for games like.
Yeah. There's no point in drawing a load of games and at the end of the season we only lost one game. Mm. Yeah. There's no point in saying that.
Because that's almost the point of embarrassment.
Yeah.
If you lose one game or lose one game and lose the league, I think. It's probably too late in the season to midstream change tactics wholly, but it's more of a mentality thing, I would say.
Yeah, but you made the point, 7 draws, 3 victories is 2 more points.
Yeah.
And so, like, we could all be sitting here going, Liverpool have lost 5, but they're still on top of the table.
Yeah.
Where now they've only lost 1 and they've drawn 7 and they're second place.
Well, City have lost 4 games.
It is funny though.
Like, City could probably lose another game and the way things are going, they'll still win the league.
Yeah.
It has been overlooked though, in the Everton game particularly, that Liverpool should have won that game. Like, they had enough chances to win the game. He's gone back to basics a little bit. That defence looks rock solid. Doesn't look like anyone's going to score against him. Granted, if Van Dijk wasn't playing the other day, Everton probably would have stuck one into the net somehow. But I think he set up to hit them on the break, and he did that. Salah just was off the boil. Don't know what's going on there. But I think when you have a solid foundation in defence, you're relying on the front three, and it's rare that Liverpool's front three, one of them's not firing, and that was just the case
last week.
The
problem is they play every game.
Yeah.
Like every game.
Yeah.
Obviously not so much now in the last few weeks, but because of injury.
Would you ever see him putting one of them, granted if they're all fit, putting one of them on the bench and just to change it up a little bit, that even the opposition would be kind of going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, I look at Salah. He's still getting into the positions, but it just his first touch for the first chance was terrible. And then his first touch for the second chance to let Michael Keane come back in and clear it.
Yeah.
Last year, Salah wouldn't have even taken a touch. Mm. He would have just bent it with his left and it would have went into the far corner. And even I thought the worst out of the three was the ball when he had James Milner clear on his own.
Yeah.
All he had to do was flight that ball over the defender and it was a tap in. So look, Roland's probably right. Liverpool did create enough chances to win the game. But they need a big performance on Sunday.
Well, they're 6-1 on, draw 13-2, which it was a draw last season at Anfield. It was an early enough in the season job. And 16-1 for Burnley. Like,
Burnley's the last team you want to see come to Anfield.
Yeah, like, because they're going to make it tough. And I said a draw will feel like a defeat.
Because
is there any, can we make any case for Watford taking anything off City on tomorrow at 5:30?
No, because Watford will come out and play football against Man City and they'll just die on their sword, which is a, you know, it's a practical way of doing things, but it's probably not, you know, they're not going to get anything out of it.
The only little glimmer, I watched the Liverpool-Watford game, and Watford in the first half had 2 or 3 chances. Yeah, and they did cause Liverpool, for all how good Liverpool's back four is, Watford were able to get behind them.
Yeah.
And Man City will play the way they play. I think Fernandinho will be missing again, De Bruyne will be missing again. And maybe, just maybe, Watford, they are a footballing side. They won't have any fear about going to City because they just play the way they play. Who knows? But you'd expect City to win.
Okay, let's look at this week's bets. We're going to start off with you, Leon. And you mentioned Crystal Palace and you've also got Leicester as well. We can get them up on the screen there. So Leicester to win. That's Brendan Rodgers' first home game, home to Fulham. Fulham pretty much looked dead and buried. Crystal Palace to win as well.
Yeah, look, I'm going to start with Palace. I just think Brighton, that win last weekend probably secures their Premier League safety.
Yeah.
They're 5 points clear with a game in hand. I think they'll be okay. But I just feel, again, their away form is pretty dreadful.
This is a derby as such, the M23 derby.
I fancy Palace anyway just to win it. And I think they're a really good price. If you just like single bets and to pick one team at almost even money, just a little bit worse off, 5-6 Palace, I think they'll beat Brighton. And I think Leicester at home against Fulham. Fulham showed a little bit of fight in the second half against Chelsea. I thought Chelsea took the foot off the pedal a bit, but I fully expect Leicester at home in Brendan's first game in charge at home. I think they'll win.
Jeez, it'd be a disaster for Rodgers if they didn't beat Fulham. For my bet, you know, we've talked about this fixture enough in the last half an hour. I've gone for United to win, both teams to score. It's 4-1. I'm kind of thinking similar to what happened in the Cup. David De Gea is notorious for having good games at the Emirates. I expect he probably will be busy enough, but I just think United can pick them off on the break. Ronan, you've also gone in this game. You're a bit more...
I think there'll be goals as well. I just think Arsenal... I'm not going to overlook the prime time element of this. It's on Sky Sports and everyone will be watching. Arsenal players will want to step up and show, you know, there'll be a bit of pride there. And as I said, Man United running an empty ever so slightly, although Pogba will be back, will make a difference. I just think possibly a 1-1 would probably be the most likely result in this game.
Yeah, and Kevin Coban, last week's winner, Huddersfield, his former club. He's gone for a draw there. Huddersfield are at home to Bournemouth. Bournemouth, dreadful away from home. And he's gone against one of his former clubs. He's gone for Newcastle to beat Everton. Newcastle in good form at home, won 4 in a row. Longstaff injured, though, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a big blow, especially to the young lad, because he'd been really playing superbly well, and kind of everyone was talking about him and Declan Rice,
you know, as being... England squad,
so that's a pity for him. But I just wonder with Everton, they obviously put a lot into the derby, and you'd be hoping that they'll put the same amount of effort into the remaining games for the season. But I kind of agree with Kev. I think Newcastle at home, they just, under Benitez, they've hit a purple patch, 4 wins in the bounce. Yeah. So I don't know about Huddersfield, though. They just don't score enough goals, do they?
Looking at the league table, Newcastle 14th, and they're actually only 6 points behind Everton. So if they were to win...
Isn't it funny how the mentality switched there on the basis of one signing?
Like, I'm wrong, but even as well, like the win against City as well, it just changed everything.
It did, yeah. You know, and he was about to come into the club. He was there that night, wasn't he? Yeah. So they were about to announce it. So it just gave the whole place a lift.
Yeah. Okay, that is all the football bets. Big hurling weekend, obviously. We're getting to the business end of the Allianz Hurling League. Couple of fixtures to look out for, Leon. You've got Cork, Tip, Wexford, Kilkenny, Waterford and Galway. Cork and Tip is always tasty.
Cork and Tip is tasty, and I suppose like Tipperary have got huge problems.
Yeah.
New manager just hasn't really worked. I would probably have to say Cork will be good enough to beat Tip. And looking down throughout the rest of it, Phil, like from, I think, like looking at this hurling division, I think it will have a bit of an impact on the All-Ireland, and I can see the likes of Waterford and Galway putting a lot into this. I think Galway, they were dreadful in one game. I think when they drew with, was it Carlow in the league?
Yeah.
They came back and beat Dublin quite comfortably. I think they'll beat Waterford. I think Galway are a very good price at 11-10. And Wexford against Kilkenny. Wexford have been very good at home in Nolan Park. The Cats, I think Brian Cody, I think Tipper, or I think Kilkenny are going to get a lot closer this year in the Liam McCarthy race. And I just think, even though Wexford are at home, I like Kilkenny. Shade of odds on at 4-5.
Okay, lovely stuff. That is pretty much our lot for this week. We'll be back at the same time next week. We've kind of got a hybrid week next week. We've got a mixture of Premier League and FA Cup games. As always, remember, if you are gambling, gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week. Until then, bye-bye.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.